Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, the proud assistant manager to the Mac Daddy of Heimlich County. And with me, I have...
The Rapture. I've already been to hell. I spell it DMV.
And...
Ah, damn, we gotta clean the fortress now. The weeks of hot sauce and sadness. Well, mostly sadness.
Ah, yeah. Things happened while you were gone, Alex, but don't worry. Everything is technically fine. Technically.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't have any other extended stuff here, so, you know, here we are, episode 409 of this podcast. How's everyone's week been going?
Oh, boy. Well, if y'all could excuse my absence from, I guess we could say earlier in the week, I've had a rough go at everything because a couple weeks ago, I pinched a nerve in the back of my neck, like in my neck and my shoulders area, and it has not gone away. And I have been in varying degrees of physical pain ever since. Some nights I'll wake up where I can't move my head. Some nights I'll wake up where, like, half my body is, you know, frozen. That's just not fun. And when we did the album roundup, when y'all did the album roundup show, I had to bow out because it was a bad day for me. Like, on a 1 to 10 scale, it's been, like, around a 6 or a 7. I can do 7. No problem. This was at an 8.
Yikes.
No matter what I do, I'm just going to be in really bad neck and shoulder and back pain. Right now I'm at like a 6, so I'm fine. But yeah, it's just been nothing but Icy Hot and Tiger Balm and aspirin on me. Which, hey, fake doctors in the world. You don't know how anything works, do you?
I fucking hate it here.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Motrin and Tylenol combined, so I guess I'm super fucked now, huh? But, yeah, aside from that, it's just been the neck and, you know, nerve issues. Not fun. Not fun. Although I will chime in with some albums that I can name off the top of my head. Baby Metal, good album. Most of it, anyway. Onomatoguchi, fun post-hardcore, post-punk kind of stuff with that usual bleep-bloop stuff. Fun times. And I have another recommendation here from Australian electronic producer Nina Jirachi. I love my computer. It's fun Y2K core, if that's a thing.
Oh yeah, I heard about that from Mr. Fantano.
Yeah, I checked it out. I listened to it. It's good. It's fun. It has a song on there called iPod Touch. Your argument is invalid.
I still have my iPod Touch. Literally, like, right in, like, a little desk below my computer. What a simpler time. I was much happier back then.
We all were. We had to do was just worry about playing Angry Birds and not feeling like the world's going to collapse at any given moment.
Or not going to dip.
Yeah. Debt sucks. I have it too. I would not recommend it.
What I do recommend is chugging a bottle of Dayquil, a.k.a. autism juice, apparently. Is it like an elixir? If I chug the whole thing at once, does it max out all my stats?
The sooner these people die, the better.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has been, as usual, I will say work at the... Well, it's that time where I had to train somebody how to do the job I do, which wasn't as terrible as I thought it would be. Honestly, you understand the stuff well. Okay, good. But you're like, okay, and what's the best of all, I've got my stuff done quicker. Or on one of those days, meaning I can go home early, so there's that. And in case you went over the weekend, well, consider if it, well, you know, that's always, well, let's say we got a little, but you know, right? So, you know what premiered that weekend, right? Yeah, the Knights of Guinevere. And I gotta say, yeah, I mean, yeah, they definitely took shots at you know what, because, well, the timing was, yeah, the timing was damn. But
you know, some things you can't plan for. It's kind of like when the first episode of Lazarus opened with a plot point about the stock market crashing.
Yeah. But this was an interesting show. Like, I mean, it's an interesting show, especially it's so and you see parallels between that and the whole shit. And okay, it's interesting pilot, this is Glitch's first foray into 2D animation. Because now I think about like, oh, okay, that's okay. I mean, okay. Okay, haven't seen it. Yeah. And all I can say is, come to see if this gets a series order or something.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes and how the merch sales are. But anyway, as for me, well, I like to say that I found a pretty amusing game to occupy an afternoon of my time called The Trolley Solution. As the name implies, it is a bunch of very absurdist takes on the concept of the trolley problem. Like, you have to solve math problems to change the trolley, or you have to lay down tracks to help the trolley, or the trolley problem but it's a dating sim, or crazy taxi but it's a trolley, or you have to survive doom scrolling without wanting to throw yourself in front of a trolley. It's very fun. Also, as far as my current quest to binge through all of King of the Hill, I am now about halfway through Season 5. First of all, I'm very sad that Season 4 did not end with us getting to watch Peggy beat the shit out of Randy Travis.
Aren't we all?
Also, I think from what I can tell, I'm getting to a point where there's a lot of very noticeable shakeups as far as the status quo, like, you know, past the episode where Nancy calls off the affair with John Redcorn, but he and Dale become friends over their shared anti-governmentness. Josh going through puberty. The fact that we finally see Lenore. Yeah, that was a interesting. Jeez, he was really dating the former governor. God damn, Bill. Holy shit. Didn't know he had game. Also, I'm past the episode where Dale has to work a fucking office job. Ugh. He looks so fucking weird without the hat and glasses. But, yeah, all that kind of stuff happening, so, we shall see what else happens. And I don't really have anything else to add to all this. So, yeah, we're just gonna jump right into with the usual business, which, we only have 4 songs to discuss for the past week, but there's a couple news topics afterwards that, you know, I figured could not wait for reasons.
Yeah. So,
yeah, we might as well talk the new songs. Of course, as always, there'll be a playlist in the description so you can follow along with us. And, you know, I'm sure one of these has to be your cup of tea. So let's start right here at the top. So, Mitski. It's been a while since we've heard a proper studio album from her, but of course she's been keeping busy. Apparently there's a concert film of hers called The Land that is coming out October 22nd. She's also got a track here that is a cover, specifically covering a song called Let My Love Open the Door by Pete Townshend of The Who. Came out in 1980, became a pretty big, it was a top 10 hit, and apparently this cover is supposed to be on the soundtrack of a movie called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. It's a romantic fantasy story starring Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell, and features a score from Joe Hisashi. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, wait, that guy? Okay.
The Hisashi of Studio Ghibli fame.
Yeah, that guy apparently, which, okay, he's doing scores to live action movies now. I mean, the last time I saw his name, he was doing a score to a Netflix anime, from this season.
Yeah, oh yeah, was that the Oh, yeah. I still need to watch that one. I actually had the book as assigned reading junior year of high school. I thought it was pretty interesting. I still have my copy right here somewhere.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. As for the song itself, I mean, yeah, you're not gonna believe this. I actually heard that song before, at least the original song before. Where I heard it from, you won't believe it, it was in credits music to Mr. Deeds.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they play a song during, like, their name is like, oh, that's who I recognize it. Like, oh, I love the before. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I recognize it. I'm like, oh, okay, now I know I heard this shit before. And with Misky singing, I'm like,
sure,
okay, it's...
I'm not sure where I would have heard it from, but I will say when I hit play on the original, I was like, oh, that's that song? Huh.
Yeah. Now I'll say, like okay, and it's like the Misky's version is, you know, it's cool. I would say it's, you know, slightly more different than, you know, like, this one sounds more, so, I want to say more somber, but not, like, sad, but more, like, slow, like, more slow.
It's very stripped down.
Yeah.
Like, the original song is very 80s.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of the most 80s song that ever 80s, and this is just kind of her voice and the piano kind of stripping everything down to the bare minimum chords necessary to give you the gist of the original song.
Yeah, which, since you said it's so 80s, not get wild on Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, this song has apparently been in a lot of movies. I'm just reading off Wikipedia here. It's been in the credits for such fantastic pieces of cinema, like Look Who's Talking, Gross Point Blank, Jersey Girl, Along Came Polly, Old Dogs.
Oh!
Oh, no! Oh!
Hit and Run, Put Grandma in the Freezer, and The Adam Project.
You had to be making at least a few of those up, right?
That's just what Wikipedia tells me, and I don't think they would care enough to make this up for a 1980s Pete Townsend song.
I feel like I'm staring into the abyss right now.
Yeah.
I'll just say this here, it's a very serviceable piano ballad cover for a movie that is most definitely not great from what I've heard and read.
Yeah, I heard it did not do that well this weekend, which, it flopped hard.
Enjoy Demon Slayer being at number one for another week before P.T. Anderson decides to barge in and go, I'm taking over now. And God, do I hope one battle after another is actually good.
Look, all that matters to me is that we're about a month away from the Rize arc.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's keeping me surviving all the stupidity of the world.
And I can say for him, this will make your money back. That's all I gotta say. I heard mostly mixed. Like, I want to say kind of mixed, because some say it's either not as bad, some say it's that bad. Like, at least from what I got from it, it's very mixed. From what I heard.
I believe Corey from Double Toasted
mentioned
it looks like it was made by somebody who saw a David Lynch movie but doesn't actually get how to make a David Lynch movie.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's the curse. That's the curse of being a movie that's produced by Jordan Peele instead of directed by him.
Direct or written, which
oh yeah,
Mr. Justin Tipping, I think we need to have a talk with you, sir.
Yeah. But this isn't the time to talk to him. That'll be some other podcast. Anyway, now let's move on to the next song here. So apparently we're getting a new Carnival record before GTA 6. We live in a world where we have new Carnival, and Hollow Knight Silk Song came out before GTA 6.
And Hades 2 on Friday.
And Hades 2, and if you don't think I'm going to double dip on digital and physical versions, you don't know me very well at all, do you? But anyway, Yeah, so it looks like the Australian band has announced that their first new album in 13 years is coming out February 6th of next year. It's titled In Verse. In, you know, space, verse, heh, get it, heh. Anyway, we have the latest single from the band here called Alzora, and I had to do a double take at first, because I'm pretty sure that's the name used for, like, the protagonist in the fakey version of Final Fantasy that exists within the universe of Kingdom Hearts 3. You know when you go to the Toy Story world and there's, like, you know, you see, like, the big TV and you can, like, fucking play, like, fake Final Fantasy or whatever? Sorry, I'm getting off track here. Again, can you tell I chugged some my autism juice today? Anyway, so, let's actually get into the song. So, starting from the jump, it has a pretty nice driving energy and tempo, mainly laying out this pretty nice, depending on how you count it, either 6-8 or 3-4 groove. Again, depending on what part the drums accentuate, but it does have a lot of a really strong groove to it, first of all, and a lot of really cool fills and sticking patterns that mainly emphasize a lot of like these really fast rolling tom patterns. The guitars start off a bit buzzed and a bit hushed in the mix, but eventually they, you know, swell in volume and settle into these really great licks that all the stringsmen from the guitarist to even a lot of the bass really play off each other really well. Like, the parts just lead into each other, they all bounce off, and they create these really dynamic and, quite frankly, kind of gorgeous-sounding soundscapes and chord structures. And the song as a whole, writing-wise, has this really great balance of, you know, well, what I meant to say is it has a really great momentum to it. It knows how to keep the energy, you know, going and driving, but also when to sort of back off, like with that really lengthy quiet bridge that kind of builds out more of these melodic drifting guitar melodies before eventually, you know, swelling back into the main energy of the song proper. Yeah, this is good. This is some pretty good stuff. I will have to make this album a priority next year.
I will concur. This is pretty gazy with its overall approach, but for an entry in the more atmospheric and slower side of prog metal, it's pretty damn solid from end to end. This pleased me. I now crave more. You've done well, Carnivore.
Now we move on to the last couple of songs here. Speaking of long waits, okay, maybe not as long a wait, I mean, 5 years versus 13 years, but still, it's feel like it has been forever since we last heard a proper full-length studio album from the man known as Thundercat. Like, let's put it like this. In the amount of time between It Is What It Is and today, your boy Lewis Cole lapped two whole albums around you, my guy. Just saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess at that Grammy win, you just... I mean, I'm not gonna say you did much. I mean, you did, you know, do some features and some other work, you know, all that shit. So anyway, Thundercat, I was hoping you get an album out soon because, well, again, it's been 5 years, probably six if you're not doing shit, doing nothing this year. So, we got not one. But, well, yeah, you know, we got two new tracks from him.
Hopefully a sign of things to come.
Yeah. Let's go with the first one, I Wish I Didn't Waste Your Time, which is produced by Greg Kurstin, which isn't he produce stuff for Adele? If I remember right?
Does he,
Because I remember the name.
Greg Kurstin. Worked with Adele on 25 and 30. Co-wrote the song Hello. He's also worked with Kylie Minogue, Sia, Halsey, Jonas Brothers, Paul McCartney, Foo Fighters, Gorillaz, Miley Cyrus, Wolf Alice, Beyonce.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're correct.
Okay, those are interesting names. I was like, okay. And I gotta say, like, here it sounds very dreamy as fuck. Like, it sounds like, oh, okay, this is the Thundercat I know. It's like, it's basically him going about a relationship that didn't work out. It's basically like, as you see from the video, his brain is out, and, well, It's which. That's Claymation. I think Claymation, or no, not Claymation, but maybe Claymation. Like it sounds dreamy. It sounds very. It has a cool vibe all over. This is definitely like, you know, that this is that very lax Thundercat, that very, you know, smooth, like very smooth Thundercat, you know.
Very smooth, definitely also kind of one of the, you know, on the moodier end of the spectrum. I mean, that title is kind of like a, you know, mournful reflection on a relationship gone wrong. So anyway, let's get funny now.
Yeah.
We don't got time for all this heavy shit. Yeah, let's talk about this other song here called Children of the Baked Potato. I didn't stutter.
Yeah, that's what it says. And like I said, this is the opposite, because this is basically Jazzy Thundercat as you hear drums, just beat going fast, like
I can tell you exactly what I thought of when I first heard that beat. I see Thundercat's favorite Van Halen song is also Hot for Teacher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, also features vocals from singer Remy Wolf, which says in fifth release, Remy is like a child of the potato like me. She knew what the song needed. It was wild to watch what's going to happen. And the video is like, which you see in the video, which, you know, they're doing that boxing shit. It's like, okay. They do some fun shit here. They do some fun shit. They're having a good time. The time was like, oh, that was kind of fun.
Yep. Nice energy. Good production. Funny lyrics about needing your alone time or else you're going to weird people out.
Yeah, just give me those wild bass lines and I'm happy. And I'm very happy here. Almost as happy as Thundercat when he wants to go play Call of Duty.
Yeah. Good times. So that'll about do it for the new song discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have our news. So stay tuned. And we're back. So, like I said, we have two news topics to discuss here. And first of all, we're going back to the topic of Firefest. The actual Firefest, not a media adaptation therein. Because, as a reminder, the last time we had to speak about Billy McFarlane's whatever the fuck, he was auctioning off the Firefest branding on the internets, where it got bought for the tune of $250,000. Now, for context, that is the season-ending prize for any winner of a show like MasterChef or Hell's Kitchen or something like that. And apparently Mr. Billy McFarlane was extremely disappointed because he thought it was low as fuck. Oh, God. It's literally on video. You can just hear the disappointment in his voice, and that sustains me. But, of course, the buyer was kept a mystery. Was it some random collective of a-holes that just managed to fundraise that much money? Was it some weird, mysterious benefactor? Was it, I don't know, baby no money? Well, plot twist, because, of course, it would be something this dumb. Firefest has been acquired by LimeWire. LimeWire, right?
A name that I ain't heard in a long time.
For those too young to remember, LimeWire was the reason that your parents' computers got an ungodly high number of diseases.
Yeah.
Because Linkin Park Meteora.exe, it did not occur to them that that wasn't actually an album download.
Yeah. The days of us having to download music using a peer-to-peer service, even though we know that that will cause a lot of our computers to break down and a lot of viruses. Yeah, that a long, long time ago. God.
Look, we all did it. We're all guilty of it. Though, in my case, I knew to avoid the .exe files because I have computer literacy skills. So I just looked for the .mp3s and .wmvs.
Even I know that I go for the MP3 files and not editor. Even I know what my audio and codec files are.
But yeah, the point here is that LimeWire, one of the earliest bastions of musical piracy online, now owns Firefest. But we do have to note, first of all, that the LimeWire of today is not exactly the LimeWire of the olden days. Because it, you know, kind of went away for a while, and then it mysteriously resurfaced in 2022 as a platform for NFTs.
You remember those? Remember those? The shit that we honestly kind of forgot that that was a thing.
We told you it was a scam. Y'all didn't believe us.
Yeah.
I mean, now look where y'all are.
Which is good that we forgot about that shit because it's like. Well, we've got about one stupid thing because we got a whole bunch of other stupid shit going on.
Yeah, so keep in mind, the specific buyers here, you know, the people that decided to turn LimeWire into a home for NFTs, are a pair of Austrian brothers named Paul and Julian Zetmeyer.
I should have
looked up how to pronounce that. And, you know, they were talking about this stuff in, like, a fucking press release, and Julian, who's the CEO, said that their reimagined vision for Fire goes, quote, beyond the digital realm and taps into real-world experiences, community, and surprise. That the vision doesn't involve bringing the festival back, and joked that it would come without the cheese sandwiches. We're not here to repeat the mistakes. We're here to own the meme and do it right. Fire became a symbol of everything that can go wrong. Now it's our chance to show what happens when you pair cultural relevance with real execution. Yeah, quick question to CEOs and COOs here. Literally, what in the holy mother of dick-sucking fuck are any of you even talking about? I feel like I'm having a stroke trying to understand what any of this fucking search engine optimization, MBA in business ass, fucking marketing speak ass, powers within you ass dialogue even fucking means.
But at least they said the thing in the immortal words of one Bubsy Bobcat. What could possibly go wrong? I don't know, you lose a lot of money. You don't make your money back. We laugh at you. All the above.
We get Bubsy 5D.
Sad enough, we're already getting another Bubsy game already because memes. But, I don't see what the end goal here is, nor do I see who the audience for this is.
I don't know, man. Maybe the same audience that'll buy Travis Barker NFTs on LimeWire. Which, we don't talk to that guy. I think he lives in the part of town where the trains don't run.
Well, at least you can buy merchandise at very, very inflated prices. That counts for something.
Except, does it, though?
No, it really doesn't.
We'll have to wait to see what sort of stupidity evolves from this acquisition, but now we move on to the other topic, and I gotta say, there's a lot of hectic bullshit that's been happening across the world in the past 10 years or so. Just constant chaos, violence, just altogether stupid, infuriating bullshit. But even in the darkest of times, it's good to know that there's at least a few constants that are out there in the world. McDonald's fries are always going to slap. Gordon Ramsay's always going to yell at a chef that doesn't know any better. And it's time for me to whip out the annual repeated thumbnail for the episode, because we got the Coachella lineup, baby!
It's that time again!
Eric Andre, it's time to get on the site again! So, yeah, we have the lineup announcement for Coachella 2026, as always, taking place in Indio, California, from Friday, April 10th through Sunday, April 12th, and Friday, April 17th through Sunday, April 19th. Still doing the whole two-weekend thing. And so now we're, of course, going to do our usual thing and just kind of snark our way through the lineup. And I am going to get things started with the lineup for Friday, April 10th and 17th. So, your big Friday headliner is Sabrina Carpenter. And I honestly still don't know how I feel about Man's Best Friend. Yes, I listened to that album in case you didn't catch the roundup. I had to because I didn't know if Alex was going to take that bullet again. So, yeah, she's there. Then you also got The XX, Nine Inch Noise, Disclosure, Fucking Turnstile,
Coachella Core.
You know, it makes sense that Turnstile was on the soundtrack for Skate, because Skate is just the not fun version of Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it. Fight me.
Okay, yeah, speaking of that, I keep on show this videos of them doing the fucking shit. This is like
the stage dive at Tiny Desk concerts.
So I mean, so like they're doing the Jesus move while playing the song "Even Flow" by Pearl Jam.
Huh. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
We also have Ethel Kane. Nice. Dijon.
Yeah.
Teddy Swims.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Cat's Eye.
Oh, yeah, that group. With the Gap ad. That's actually good.
We got Devo. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Whip It Good.
Red.
Don't Whip It Good.
Central Cee.
Oh.
Foster the People. We're still around, I guess.
Yeah.
Levity.
Okay.
Blood Orange.
Nice.
Nobody Cares, Moby.
Okay.
Nobody Cares.
Marlon Hofstadt.
Okay.
Lyca Lee. Fake Mink. Gordo.
Hey!
Ooh, here's an actually interesting one. Creepy Nuts.
Oh,
Yes, the same Japanese rap group responsible for the likes of OPs for Mashal Season 2. And I'm pretty sure y'all were playing the rhythm for Don to Don. I hear you.
And
I hear the Don to Don, Don to Don, Don to Don, Don to Don, Don to Don.
Yeah.
And also, this season's called the Not, it's called like Season 2, which. What's the kind of fuck with that theme?
Yes, yes. Very interesting. Kind of makes me wonder if they're going to be one of those acts like Yoasobi that seemingly crosses over, you know, into this general realm, but we'll have to wait and see. Also, there's Joyce Manor. Beanie, Katama, Groove Armada, Juiced, Hugel, C-Mat, Slater, Prospa, Hot Mulligan, Hamdi, Fleshwater, nice, Max Styler, Wednesday, Dabiol, The Two Lips. Oh, hey, look at that. Nina Jirachi.
Aha.
Max Dean X Luke Dean. Kachirula and Lujan. Jessica Branca. Chloe Kaye X Rossi. Eridus. New Dad. Caroline Durante. Flower of Love. February. Bob Baker Marionettes, Yuna, and Sahar Z. Honestly, I'm still convinced you're making a few of these up. You expect me to believe that there's a guy named Luke Dean? Come on!
I don't know, anyway, Mike Dean.
Yeah, so who wants to take over for Saturday?
That's Skip.
Ah, damn it. Fine, okay. So your Saturday lineup. Headlined by, you're a white Canadian, Justin, when trying to appropriate other cultures and races.
good lord, we need a Kendrick diss track set.
Yeah. Alongside Mr. Swag, as he wants to be called. I don't know why. Ew. We have... Oh, hi, Julian. The Strokes. We have Givian, Addison Rae, Labyrinth, Somber, David Byrne, interesting, Interpol, Alex G, Sway Lee.
Wait, he still exists?
I guess Ray Shremberg is dead. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We have Solomon, Taman, Pink Pantheress, Royal Otis, that's how it's spelled, Rez, with two Z's, Fujikaze, Adriatic, is that how you say it?
I guess.
Oh.
I tried. DeVito, Boys Noise, Geese, Rusowski, Yusuke Yukimatsu with a bunch of dollar signs, pound signs, yen signs, and cross out O's because aesthetic. Green Velvet X Aebo, Luisa Sonza, Zulan, Los Hermanos Flores, Bidouin, Ceremony, 54 Ultra, Noga Erez, Ben Sterling, Blonde Shell, Lambrini Girls, Echo Vandal, Mind Enterprises, Freak Slug, Sosa, Mahmoud Orhan, Riordan, D Spitz, What More, Genesee, and Yamaguchi.
Again, they expect me to believe in the existence of a guy named Ben Sterling. I say. Yes, that is once again a bunch of names. Seriously, I do not get Addison Rae. But anyway, now I suppose that leaves Mark to handle Sunday.
Yep, alright, and this is on the lineup. We have Kel G. Okay. Alright, this is lined up. Rather 2 weeks. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong man. I meant Young Thug. Or as Glorilla called him, Jamaican Vegeta. Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't Rat Bitch just fit easier anyway?
True. Okay. Next thing we got. Cascade. Yeah. A name that I heard a long time ago, but yeah, you got Big Bang, right? Lofi, okay, Major Lazer, heard him.
Go away, Diplo.
Okay. All right, you got Iggy Pop, got FKA Twigs, all right, Wet Leg, what the hell? Cliffs, who at least they're in the second line. I don't know, but they should have been bigger, but I don't know. All right, we got Subtronics, Lil Sims, Mochak, Duke DeMont, Worship, Armin Van Buren, ex Adam Bear. I know one of the names before. Holly Humberstone. Gigi Perez. Oh, speaking of topical, The Rapture. Right. Maybe Suicidal Tendencies. Bunt.
Okay.
Yeah. French Police.
Oh, God. It's always the French.
Black Flag.
Okay, when you say Black Flag, do you mean the actual band Black Flag, or the hired gun teenager version of Black Flag. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, right. Got
son of Black Flag.
Yeah.
Black Flag, ship it in.
Yeah. All right. Got Okalu. I don't know. Okalu. Yeah. Let's go with that. Ryoksop. I mean, I heard the name I saw before is like,
sounds like a One Piece character.
Yeah. The reason why I recognize the name, I know one song from him because I heard it on SSX3 when I played it. Yeah. Right, you got the chats. Drain, model actress.
Oh, nice.
Cold bra, like damn. Los Retros. Who made who? Jane Remover. Rose. Damn. Hey, Rose. Glitterer. The fuck is Carlita/X. Josh Baker. Miss Tiza and Friends. Or I guess it's Miss Tiva. Then and Friends. I can't speak tonight. What the fuck? Samaya, Tomora, and you fucking start with, right? And Anamiya presents. Eden?
Yeah, those are, once again, I'm pretty sure all these are fake. At least half of these are.
Yeah, it's listed as a world premiere, and right at the very bottom, there's also the bunker debut of Radiohead Kid Amnesia. Side note, Radiohead can go away for like 5 years right now, okay? We're all mad at you for very, very specific reasons, Tom.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got distracted because I'm not used to seeing world premiere in a small text. Usually it takes up like half the screen and it has a voiceover. And then it cuts to Jeff Keighley. World premiere. Yeah. So, yeah, fucking. That's a lineup. So. I will admit, the Creepy Nuts thing is the most interesting thing to me, but otherwise, everything else just kind of seems like a typical Coachella lineup. Clips of School, Ethel Kane's cool, everything else I can sort of take a leave.
You got the big pop acts, you got some alternative flavors, I will say there's actually less hip hop here than previous years. Like, where you got maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe a couple minutes. Like, it's beginning to be kind of less looking at things, and you got a few alternative acts and all that stuff. Like, and of course the names that either we don't know or just wonder who the fuck are you.
Yeah. You got your pop acts, you got your rap acts, you got your K-pop acts, you got your EDM/IDM acts, and you have Turnstile for some reason. So I guess everybody's happy.
I am so fucking sick of those guys. But that's why I don't get to be in charge of festival lineups. So, yeah, we'll of course move on from that, because now that the news stuff is over, we have one last thing we got to touch on, and that is the new album releases for the week of September 26th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from the metal band Amorphis with Borderland. Probably a better use of your time than Borderlands 4.
Oh.
We have the newest album from Dying Wish with Flesh That Stays Together.
Yeah.
From Revocation, we have the album New Gods, New Masters. From British industry plant President, we have their debut EP, King of Terrors. from Young Thug, we have a new project, UI Scuti? Scushy? Whatever the fuck. From Fuck You for Ruining the Royal Rumble, there's a new Hardy album, Country. Country.
Oh, no.
Two exclamation points. Your music does not merit that much hype, sir.
Look, I'm happy for Harry Meary. He's got a great gig playing Run Through the Sky, but the music still sucks.
We have a new self-titled album from Purity Ring. And, of course, last but certainly not least, we have the newest studio album from Mariah Carey with Here For It All. So, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, which also includes my bed, because my neck is fucked. Also, the Discord, other Discords, my other show, and the place where you find the links to all the episodes when they go up, whenever I see them and I put them up, which, yeah, I promise. I'm going to try and get better on all that, but life is very, very hard right now.
Anyway, I'm Mark. What about you?
Of course, I'm on the Sky Blue Mental Media and on my site, mindthehypeboard.com, where recently I did my summer anime wrap up, which yes, live now. And of course, as stated before, the finale of my series Focus on Amirta comes this Friday. Hopefully around the week after that, I should have a page that you know gives you the links to all the chapters. So yeah, why wait a week for that? Well, just because.
As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Sewer Resolution. Visit the website sewerresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord server from there to chat anime, music, and always be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. So, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until next time, autism announcement. We're officially binging every single Dragon Ball thing ever made across the next month or so, and you to get a choice in the matter. Chop chop, motherfucker.
Well, I'm out.